Welcome to the VIP Conduit NVDA Screen Reader presentation. If you are already familiar with NVDA, you will obtain a wealth of information about the new version of the screen reader. If you've never used it before, you may be encouraged to try it. Regardless, we are in for a treat as we welcome Quentin Christensen from NV Access. Let's dive in. Good evening. We have a wonderful turnout for this event. I am so thrilled, and I would like to welcome Quentin Christensen from NVDA all the way from Australia by way of this wonderful technology we have to just talk to us about this wonderful screen reader. And I'm just going to kind of give you the floor. So take it away.
Excellent. Not a problem. Thank you so much, Marlene, and everybody for having me. So yeah, I've got a few things that I normally cover. I'm happy for questions, and we can dive into whatever else you're interested in. So my name's Quentin. I am the training and support manager with NV Access. Our main product, what we do, is the NVDA screen reader, which is the free screen reader for Windows, which reads everything out, puts it on a braille display for you. Main competitor, similar program, would likely be JAWS. Obviously, our main point of difference with JAWS, because stepping back, a lot of the features, functionality, what you can do with both of them is quite similar. One might work better in one situation, the other one might work better in another situation, but broadly, they do the same thing. And even a lot of the keystrokes are the same. We have a document actually on switching from one to the other, and yeah, a lot of it is quite similar. The biggest point of difference, obviously, is the price. So NVDA is free. We did that from the outset. So initially, it was developed by Mick and Jamie in 2006, 2007. One of the main reasons that they had for doing that was that commercial screen readers are quite expensive and out of reach of many people. So they wanted to see what they could do with something for free that was open source. And it's come along in leaps and bounds in the last almost 20 years now. The organization, NV Access, is still small. We have a team, although we're bigger than we've ever been, we've got a team of six of us now. And so, as I said, I'm training and support manager, so I'm probably the one who touches the code and does that development side of things sort of less than everybody else. But what I do is I write our training material, our certification system. I do a lot of user support. If you write to info@nvaccess.org and say this isn't working, I'm probably the one that will endeavor to help you. I'm active on our social media and do a lot of things like this. So yeah. That's basically who I am. I've been with us for 10 years now. And before that, I worked for a major blindness organization teaching not only NVDA, but JAWS, ZoomText, Magnifier, and so on. So I do have a background in across the board a little bit. And one of the other things that NV Access has is, as a nonprofit, we have a board of directors who oversees us and what we do and make sure that everything's continuing to head in a good direction. So we're very conservative in our estimates for how many users we've got, but we say conservatively at least over 250,000 users in more than 175 countries and over 55 languages. So one of the good things with being open source is that we can take contributions from all over the world. We take translations. We have we have many teams and individuals around the world who help translate NVDA into many different languages. So that is really good, especially because a lot of the countries where people are poorest, maybe countries where English may not be the primary language. Because NVDA is free and open source, it makes it easier to make it portable. You can use it without needing admin access off a memory. So you can put it on a memory stick, take it down to, you know, any other computer and plug that in and get started with it. So you don't need to worry about license keys, for instance. Along the same lines and continuing from that, you can also use it in organizations. You can take it to work and your employer can use it without any burden of cost for anyone, regardless of how big your organization is. So that's good. We have training material and telephone support and things like that that a lot of our corporate users do like. But yeah, other than that, it's fine to use in corporations and wherever. Synthesizer options. So NVDA uses Windows 1 core, which is built into Windows 10 by default. It is a nicer sound, perhaps a more human-sounding voice than the eSpeak that you may have tried if you used NVDA, you know, initially on Windows 7 or tried it a number of years ago. And that was probably one of our bigger complaints from people is, oh, it's great that I can use it and it's free and all that, but I really don't like the robotic voice. So yeah, we use Windows 1 core by default. And if you do like eSpeak, and we do have a dedicated sort of following for eSpeak, because it is quite responsive and able to work really well at very high speech rates, then we still include that. There are a number of other voices that you can get and synthesizers that you can get. Tiflet Technia sell the vocalizer package, which they've updated recently. Acapella and a bunch of other companies make voices. We have a page full of those that you can try out. Language support, I mentioned earlier, and a couple of other things why that is important. One of our community contributors, Bill Dengler, added support for, and I'm going to mangle this, so I do apologize, but Potentepec Mixi, which is a native Mexican language. With around 6,000 speakers worldwide. But NVDA with eSpeak has support for that, and it's basically one of the only ways that language is recorded outside of that language group. His work adding that to eSpeak, for instance, also created a tool which documented how it should be spoken for future generations. So that's useful. New Zealand government also recommend NVDA because it's the only one with eSpeak that has support for Maori, their native language. NVDA 2025.1 is coming out very shortly. We're in the beta period for that at the moment. We're about to go to a release candidate, and it has a lot of big features. It's actually the biggest release in terms of the number of issues and things closed and things added in to any of our releases. So one of the biggest things for it is NVDA Remote, which has previously been an add-on, is now built into NVDA. So NVDA Remote lets you connect to another computer, which is running NVDA, and communicate between the two computers. You can do support, for instance. So if I've got a problem with my computer, you can use NVDA Remote to come in and sort out whatever's going wrong. And I do apologize if you can hear my dog barking in the background. Automatic add-on updates. So one of the things we introduced a year or so ago was the add-on store, which replaced the old add-on site and manager. Previously, you had to go to the website, download add-ons, and install them. Now you can do it all from within NVDA itself, which has been really embraced by the community. Last time I looked, I've got the figures in front of me, but last time I looked, I think there was like 100 and something add-ons, just over 100 add-ons on the old add-on site. And last time I looked in the add-on store, there was 300 or more. So yeah, that's been really good to create as a central repository for those add-ons. And one of the features in 2025.1 is automatic add-on updates. So it's something that people have wanted since we implemented it, and it's now here. So add-ons can automatically update without you needing to go in and update this one, update that one, update the next one. We've added or improved support for math in PDF files. Maths in general, actually, we're still continuing to improve. Particularly one thing we're looking at doing is bringing in MathCat is one of the add-ons for using math. And this one, actually, it's been around for a little while, but it actually came across our radar at a conference we were at, where we went to a presentation from a couple of university professors on how well does your screen reader do at math. They'd gone through all the different combinations of, you know, JAWS, VoiceOver, NVDA, with the different browsers and the different math implementations and add-ons. And they found that NVDA with MathCat was the best option. So, yeah, we've been keen to develop our relationship with Neil, who makes the MathCat add-on, and improve support there. And, we're looking at eventually getting that into NVDA in core as well. Highlight, it'll give you the result, but it will highlight text with, say, the sentence that you searched for. When you go to the page, what happens in the browser is that it will usually jump to that section of the page and it will highlight that. NVDA hasn't been able to report that or do anything with that previously, but now in Firefox, it'll report highlighted text. And We've also got an issue for that in Chrome, but I can't remember whether that made it into 2025.1. I think that's aiming for 0.2. NVDA can also now report when a link destination is on the current page or elsewhere. So that can be useful. And as with most things, you can turn that on or off as you desire. Improvement in font format reporting in LibreOffice. So we've had a good relationship with the LibreOffice developers over the last couple of years, who have done a lot of work on the accessibility of LibreOffice. So that is fantastic as an alternative to Microsoft Office. Prevent the display turning off, the braille display turning off when you're, or sorry, the screen display turning off when you're doing sale or reading something long in braille and scrolling on the braille display. Sometimes when the power saving settings kick in and the screen turns off, it can break that and stop it from reading. So, yeah, that can be handy. Rate boost and language detection now also works with SAPI 5 voices. And we've included some fixes for SAPI 4 voices as well. So pretty much whichever synthesizer you're using, there's improvements there. A handful of other recent updates. You can now configure the multiple press gesture timeout, which means, you know, you can press NVDA F12 to read the time, and you can press it twice to report the date. One of the things which I picked up when I was doing our VPAT a few years ago was that you had to press that twice within, say, a second, and that's not always possible for everybody. And so the VPAT, just jumping back to that, the VPAT is our voluntary product accessibility template, so it's basically a statement for how accessible NVDA is, which might seem a little bit odd for a screen reader when we're the ones who make it possible to access everything else. But it was actually a useful exercise because it highlighted this, for instance. So it enabled us to fix that. You can now configure font attributes in speech and braille separately. So you can have something reported in speech but not in braille, or the other way around. You can now use Unicode normalization, which is on social media, probably more popular on social media is where you might run into it, where people will write, say, their username in a fancy font that's actually not a regular font at all, but it's, you know, Greek mathematical symbols or something. Previously, that wouldn't read properly, but now it will. So that is quite handy. Sound split lets you have, say, your music in your left ear and NVDA in your right ear if you want. Display speech output braille mode. So another braille one, which normally in braille what we'll do is we'll condense the text a little bit to make it fit on a braille display, particularly things like, say, instead of saying the word button, we'll say BTN. What you can do if you, and there are some other things that may not get reported at all in braille that get read in speech. What you can do if you want is you can set that to echo exactly what NVDA reads. One which has been popular with our perhaps testing community or partially sighted users is on-demand speech mode. So previously you could have NVDA set to speak or off. You might have it off if you're relying entirely on a braille display, for instance. You can now configure which of those modes are available, and the new one is on-demand speech mode. So when you load a web page or down arrow through something, it won't actually read until you give it an NVDA command. So NVDA down arrow or NVDA A if you're in laptop keyboard layout to say all, for instance. So that can be useful when you don't want NVDA always reading, but then want to specifically ask it. Native selection mode is another one that we added last year, which is on the web. The way that screen readers get their information normally is they take the web page, the HTML, or the code, and they analyze that and make their own sort of virtual window of it, which works really well for jumping from section to section, from heading to heading, and so on quite responsively. But what it loses is the formatting of the text. So if you copy text off a web page with, you know, shift and the arrow keys and then control C and go and dump it in Word, what you would find is that it will just be plain text, which is fine. A lot of the time, that's what you want. But if you actually wanted that formatting, you couldn't get that until now. We've added that in, so you can get that with Firefox and Chrome now. A lot of our fixes actually don't come from the handful of staff that we've got, but actually nearly half of them come from the community. So we have an amazing community who contribute a lot of the fixes to NVDA. All of those do come to us, and we need to vet them, or not so much me, but the other guys need to vet them and check them, make sure they're all okay and they work and they don't cause conflicts and so on before they go into NVDA. But yeah, half of ours come from the community, which is fantastic.
Do you have any similar type thing to the Picture Smart that JAWS has, where it will analyze a picture
and tell you what's in it? That's an interesting one. It is something that we have on our roadmap to bring into NVDA in general. We actually have, I think last time I looked, about three different add-ons that will do that in the add-on store. And a couple of those go back as far as 2019. So in that way, it's something that NVDA has had for 6 years. But yes, it also is something that we are looking at bringing into NVDA core, so that you don't need an add-on for it. And particularly what we're looking at doing is local image description. We know that a lot of those AI services are really popular, but we also know that most of them require you to send that image, in this case, off to whichever service it is to analyze and come back with the information. What we want to do is have something that works on the local machine, both for responsiveness and also for privacy for you as well. Right now, there's three different add-ons. If you search for image description in the add-on store, you'll find a handful of different options there. And yes, it is something that we're looking at bringing into NVDA itself. One other thing that we've got from our roadmap, Gerald, our general manager, has shared a roadmap of some of the main things that we're looking to bring into NVDA. And again, this is the stuff that we're looking at working on internally. If the community want to work on something and you know, submit that, then that's brilliant. We'll take that as well. So yeah, just because something isn't here doesn't mean we won't work on it, but local image description is here on the roadmap. We've also got a secure add-on runtime is something that we are working on and we know will be quite popular. What that is that the 0.1 release, our first release of the year each year, is traditionally one which breaks add-ons and means that our add-on developers have to go off, double-check that everything still works, and update them if needed. And we appreciate that that is annoying for add-on developers particularly, and also end users. If you've downloaded any of the betas of 2025.1 and you rely on add-ons, then you'll probably notice that they don't work or aren't marked as compatible with 2025.1. And so, yeah, we appreciate that that is inconvenient, and it's something that we are actually actively working on now to fix for everybody. And that will be good once it's in.
What is it about working for NVDA that inspires you the most?
Good question. I think for me, and I, probably for the others as well, I think it's that we're doing something which makes a difference to people. It's also quite inspiring to be doing that and to be able to say to people, here's our product, and it's free. You don't owe us anything for it. Which is quite amazing. If you've been to, for instance, the CSUN conference in Anaheim, in Los Angeles, you can walk into a room full of amazing products, any of which will set you back 4 or 5 figures. So to be pretty much the only ones in the room able to say, here's our product and it doesn't cost anything, is quite something. We had a strategy planning day last week where we all got together and the board got together. And yeah, that was quite invigorating to be talking about that, planning what we're working on, and looking at the difference that we make. Because even if you're, for instance, a JAWS user, that's fine. Having another screen reader which sort of pushes, well, for the market share, but also just to improve what screen reading can do, it helps make JAWS better as well. So, and you know, as they bring out improvements and people want them from us as well, that helps improve NVDA. And we also, for instance, one of the things that really struck for me when I started writing training material for us, I wrote basic training for NVDA first, which sort of covers all of the NVDA functions and keystrokes and how to do everything with it. It's quite comprehensive. And then I went on to write a module for Microsoft Word with NVDA. And what I discovered in doing that was something which quite surprised me. Probably doesn't surprise anybody who tried to use some of those versions of Word with the screen reader, but I systematically went through all the functions of Word, and I picked out an incredible number of issues of things like, this function can't actually be accessed with the keyboard. This function, you know, doesn't do what it should with the keyboard. This function works, but I don't get any feedback, and so on. And so quite a lot of things, I went back to Microsoft and developed a good relationship with Microsoft. We do have a good organizational relationship with Microsoft, and I also managed to work with a few people there as well. A lot of the things that I've brought up, some of them have been fixed. I'm not going to say all of them have been fixed, but yeah, a lot of things have improved, and it highlighted some things where we could improve what NVDA does as well, so that's been good. But most of the fixes from Microsoft's side for Office are beneficial to anybody who uses Office with any screen reader, but a lot of them, any people who use Office with the keyboard at all. What I found was 90% of, say, those modules I've written on using Office with NVDA are actually more using Office with the keyboard. There's a few NVDA-specific commands in there, but a lot of it is just using Word with the keyboard, using Excel with the keyboard. So that has been good and provided benefits, you know, beyond just NVDA. So that is quite rewarding as well. Probably actually that also sort of reminds me of probably the first question that a lot of people ask us. Yes, NVDA is free. How is it free? How do you make money? NVDA is free because one of the main things that we've done is we've got partnerships with organizations like Microsoft, Google, Adobe, and they give us money to help fund what we do. And in return, we do have that relationship with them and give them back that feedback of what is or isn't working in Windows, Office, Google Docs, PDF. There's a lot wrong with PDF. But, you know, we do feed that back to them and give them our expertise on not only this isn't working, but also, yeah, this is the technicalities of what you can do to fix that. Again, that has benefits beyond just NVDA, which is, yeah, really rewarding. Let's see. I mentioned the training materials. So we've got basic training for NVDA is probably our key module that we'd recommend to most people. All of the prices on our website are in Australian dollars, which is mostly an artifact of PayPal, because when you buy it, that's what it will charge you. It will actually convert automatically to US dollars or to whatever local currency you're using, but 32 Australian works out to about $20, a little bit, $20, $21 US. So we try to keep it quite cheap. And basic training for NVDA, we updated at the end of last year, just before we did the certification. Basic training for NVDA, then we've got the modules for Office, so Word, Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint. I'm working on updating Excel at the moment, and then I'm going to have another look at Outlook and what Microsoft have been doing with that lately. But we have all of those, which you can get separately or together in the productivity bundle, the NVDA productivity bundle, which also includes telephone support as well. So we have telephone support. You can ring up and get support, or you can contact us. We can ring you anywhere, or we can get on a Teams call with you, or Google Meet, or whatever you prefer.
Have you found, since Microsoft has dispensed with their Windows Mail, and now they're going to this new Outlook thing, is NVDA working pretty well with that? Because a lot of us have really kind of maligned the fact that the Windows Mail is no more, and we've found that new Outlook to be very cumbersome.
I have to say, I do not know why Microsoft feel the need to completely rewrite their free mail program every year. You know, we went through Outlook Express and we've been through several things called Windows Mail, Windows Live Mail. And so, yeah, I have no idea why they can't just keep one and stick with it. But Windows Outlook New, whatever they're calling it, yeah, there are issues. It did broadly work last time I looked at it. I tend to jump between because I need to look at issues in that and in, you know, accessing Gmail on the web or Outlook Classic or Thunderbird. So I tend to jump from one to the other. But, yeah, there are definitely issues there. And do keep reporting those, I think, is probably the key thing. Do keep letting us know. We have GitHub we use for our issue reporting. So anything that we need to fix in NVDA will need a GitHub issue at some point. It's not too hard to use. They're actually working on some fixes for accessibility to make it even easier to use, which will be good. But if you're not sure about GitHub or not comfortable with it, you can always write to us at info@nvaccess.org and say XYZ isn't working. Ideally, if you can tell me what version of any given program you're using, and if you can give me steps to reproduce it and say press this, press that, press the other, then I can make sure I can replicate the same issue. And then, yeah, I'm happy to write up whatever we need from our side. Or it's often can be difficult to tell, is this a bug in Outlook, for instance, or is NVDA not doing what it should? And sometimes it might be one or the other or a little bit of both. And again, if I look at, say, if we look at something and go, no, actually, we're doing everything we should. That's a problem with that Microsoft need to fix in Outlook. We can take that back to them and hassle them to fix it as well. Microsoft also, incidentally, Microsoft have a disability answer desk, which if you search for that term, disability answer desk, which is a service where anyone can contact Microsoft and say, I'm using NVDA, I'm trying to access, you know, my email in Outlook and this isn't working. And they will try and either fix it for you or record whatever the issue with it is on their side. So they're quite useful as well, and I do talk to them regularly too.
Quentin, just wondered how good is the flat review these days in NVDA? It's been a while since I've looked at it, and because I develop web pages, I need to know exactly what it looks like. The other question I have is what is the state of Eloquence these days? I understand that Nuance owns it, or they did last time I checked, and that it was there have been some gray market plugins that are running around, or add-ons that are running around that people have tried, but really, I think Code Factory had something going for a while there. I don't know if they still do. But what is the state of Eloquence right now?
Okay, yeah, let's go with Eloquence first. My understanding is, yeah, I think Nuance own the rights to it overall. Code Factory were the distributors of it for Windows and NVDA and also Android. They had a version of it for Android as well. And for reasons known only to them, they just suddenly stopped distributing them all last year. Since you can still buy the standalone SAPI 5 version of Eloquence from them, given how they just suddenly abandoned us and Android, I'd be a little bit wary.
You mentioned Firefox and Chrome. Are those your suggested browsers? Because I have Microsoft Edge.
Just a sec. Let me finish on Eloquence. There are one or two unofficial Eloquence or IBM TTS add-ons for NVDA. I am probably not supposed to recommend those, but they're out there and you can find them. I think is what I shouldn't say. Flat review, coming back to the other original. Oh, actually, and Tiflet Technia, if anyone had bought the Code Factory products, Tiflet Technia offer a discount on their new version of Vocalizer. I appreciate it's not Eloquence, but they offer a discount if you get in touch with them. Flat review, navigating web pages. There's a couple of different ways of doing it. I think by flat review you mean is it screen review, where you can do with the web is you can switch between NVDA trying to read, for instance, a piece of text and a link and back to regular text all on one line, and having those on three separate lines as you down arrow through a document. As far as I know, that works fine, and you can use whichever one you prefer. One of the things we introduced the year before, was something that we do call flattened review, which is based on object navigation. It gets a bit technical, so I won't go into details, but object navigation basically lets you move between all of the items on a page, including things that you may not be able to get to with, say, the arrow keys or tab or things like that. Flattened, the way that works is it's sort of in hierarchies. So the example I often used was the office ribbon. You can go from the home to insert to drawing to whatever else, and then you can go into the home ribbon and it's got the clipboard options and the font options and the paragraph options. You can go into the paragraph options and go down one level and go to bullets, numbered lists, indent, and so on. With object navigation, it does go in that level structure, so you can go back and forth between items in the one level, up and down levels, and so on. Flattened object review lets you go just all in one big list through everything. I'm not sure what the original question there was back on the web anyway, but it should all work. If anything doesn't work, do let us know. And catching up to the last question on browsers, traditionally we have worked very well with Firefox, and a lot of users have used Firefox. NVDA works very well with Chrome and with Edge these days. So Edge is actually based on Chromium, which is what Chrome uses internally. So most things which work in Edge should work in Chrome and vice versa. Occasionally you will find a slight difference. And for the most part, NVDA should work, you know, with pretty much anything in Chrome and in Firefox. I think as with a lot of things, you might find something which works better in one browser than the other. I actually haven't encountered too many of those recently, but I still keep both browsers handy just in case.
One of the things that you mentioned a minute ago, it had to do with PDF. I'm a JAWS user, but one of the things that doesn't always work, or actually doesn't work at all, is the marking tools that Adobe PDF or Adobe Pro has, where you can insert text into a PDF, or you can draw a circle around something, or you can create a signature box, little things like that. Some of those might be too visual, like the circle and the line and all that. But there may be some things that could be made accessible if the right person does it. So has NVDA tried working with the markup tools within Adobe to try to make that a little more accessible?
Good question. It's probably one I'd need to take on notice and come back to you on. I know one thing that's always frustrated me with PDF is, and we had a nice brochure that somebody made up for us for MV Access to you know, give out and things like that, and we wanted to update some of it, like, you know, the number of users, for instance, as that grew. And so we went and we bought Adobe Acrobat Pro, which theoretically should give you even more than that and let you completely edit the PDF file. And what we discovered, and what Adobe will tell you, is that you're not really supposed to edit PDF files. You're supposed to, you know, edit it in whatever you make your file in the first place, and then export it to PDF. I'm not quite sure, based on that, what the point of Adobe Acrobat Pro is, but in the end, I did manage to wrangle it to do what I want. But I should also say, I have enough sight. I'm not completely blind. I have enough sight to use, you know, magnifier and large print, and I could get away with that. But what I would normally do is, and what I would generally do these days if I'm making something I want as a PDF file, is I'll do it in Word and then use Word's export to PDF function, which actually creates, for, you know, most relatively standard, simple documents, creates quite an accessible PDF file. So our certification system, once you've done the basic training, for instance, a lot of what's in there we've put on a test for, called our expert certification, and you can do that test online and purchase, if you wish, a nice certificate. And we made that certificate what I do when you purchase the certificate is I put your name in Word, then I export it to PDF, and it creates quite a nice, accessible file, which was all just to give you an example of what I do there to create a PDF file. We actually looked at automated systems for doing it, so when you purchased it in the shop, it would automatically create something for you, and there are some around, and none of them would create an accessible file, so that's why I still do it by hand, and why it will sometimes take a couple of days if you order it on Friday and I don't get to it till Monday or Tuesday. I will have to have a look at some of the markup tools in Adobe, though, to see the current state of them.
Thank you. Yeah, in some situations, like an office type setting, it comes as a PDF. It's not, you know, but you're required to mark it up in some way. And so it would be great to be able to have that functionality.
It would. It would. I appreciate that. And I know sometimes, even worse than that, you'll get given a PDF which looks fine visually, but is actually essentially a photograph of text. And so screen readers can't just natively read it at all. And NVDA, as does JAWS, has the ability to do OCR on that. So basically look for text in a PDF that's inaccessible, or an image, a meme on Facebook or whatever, and pull the text out of that, which, and I probably make this a more general comment overall about doing that, and even the AI image recognition things, they're getting better, they work quite well, but they're not the same as having something in terms of the text accessible in the first place, or the image described by the person who created it in the first place. AI might tell you it's three people sitting around a table, but it can't tell you who those three people are. If you're reading a document that's been recognized, sometimes it will get things wrong, particularly if it's quite hard to read text. But yeah.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I started reading the Michael and James blogs back in the early 2000s when they were blogging about this, about NVDA, and I have to compliment your approach on how it was done. It was a high level language called Python, and then you took the bottlenecks and rewrote those in a lower level language. And I thought that made a lot of sense, and it meant that you don't need to develop a scripting language yourself. So kudos to those guys for coming up with that approach.
Thank you. Yes, Python is a it's a popular language. It's not a really obscure language, so we do get good support from the community to help extend things there. And it's probably highlights actually one of the differences between JAWS and NVDA, since you mentioned scripting and things. With JAWS, they have, as I understand it, a scripting language, which makes it easier for someone who's not overly technical to write a JAWS script. Whereas for NVDA add-ons, you need to know at least a little bit of Python, which can be a bit more daunting and perhaps is a higher barrier to entry. But on the flip side, it gives you the full power of a programming language. You can do basically anything with an NVDA add-on, even beyond, you know, what you might first think of. And there are some weird and wonderful add-ons out there that do all kinds of things. Whether one approach is better than the other, I think they're just different approaches. Are there any other questions?
Well, again, I'd like to thank you so much for coming and informing our group here. We had a great turnout, and that is really fantastic. And is there any other thing that you'd like to say to wrap things up? And then we'll send you on your way.
Yep, sure. Probably the big one is that NVDA 2025.1. We are going to release that release candidate. We're going to put out that release candidate next, probably Tuesday. And then a week or two after that, or probably a couple of weeks after that, if we don't have any major issues recorded against it, we'll put out the final 2025.1. We do try and make ourselves pretty accessible and easy to find information on. We have a blog, as mentioned just before. So we have a blog on our website that you can read. We put out posts every couple of weeks. You can also subscribe now to our email newsletter. So you can get that blog via email. You can also get an email when we put out a new version of NVDA. So, you know, if that was all you wanted, you can subscribe just for that. And the link is on the website because it's a little bit tricky to read. It's eepurl.com/IUVYJO. Did you all get that? so yeah, it's on the site. It's probably the easiest way to find it on the blog there. nvaccess.org is that site. info@nvaccess.org is our email address. And we're fairly active on social media. Mastodon, we found, is our most popular platform. But we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Blue Sky, Reddit. What's that other one? Discord. We're, all over the place. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much everything.
Well, thank you so much, Quentin. You certainly packed a lot of great information into your presentation. I would encourage people to try NVDA because, like, there are certain things that I can do much easier with it. And I've been a JAWS user since 1990, when it was JAWS for DOS. And I'll tell you, NVDA gives everybody that I know a run for its money. I've just have gotten more into using it for various things and found out that it works a lot better.
Oh, I think I might have the key. I got my sounds off. Sorry about that. I just want to thank you for a great presentation. I agree. That was a lot of cool stuff that you were going over. And I also been a JAWS user for many years, but I've also been an NVDA user for many years. There's a game I play, NVDA works better. And I'm one of those rare people that still uses iTunes. And JAWS is horrible with it, but it is zippy and very usable with NVDA. So I appreciate having a choice of screen readers, just like with everything else in life. You know, it's good to have choices. And I agree, having the two companies compete against each other, I guess, would be the way to say it, would make them both better.
Yeah, I'd also like to thank you very much, Quentin, for coming on and talking to us. Very, very informative. I also use JAWS and NVDA. I kind of swap back and forth. I do a lot of tech support on the site here. I use the remote feature, more than I can think. I wish JAWS was easy, but if everybody would get NVDA, I think I'd throw JAWS aside. Thanks again for coming on.
I am a full-time NVDA user, and I want to thank you very much for coming to talk with us, Quentin.
I am a JAWS and NVDA user. I have a radio show, and I like NVDA's station playlist script or add-on. One thing I don't like about the one for JAWS is that there's an annual subscription. I wouldn't mind paying for it if it was a one-time thing, but so I've decided to use NVDA. Now, one thing I do miss, NVDA used to support the DeckTalk window eyes, and I still have one, but it's no longer being supported, and I do miss that because I like that speech, but other than that, I really like NVDA.
Thank you. Thank you. To have a quick look, there is still an add-on for DeckTalk. It might not be on our add-on store. There's actually a Spanish add-on site. The Spanish community is quite proactive and quite enthusiastic, and they've developed their own add-on site. And that has a few that we don't have on the add-on store. It may be on there.
Okay. I don't have mine set up for Spanish, but because I like one thing I like about the hardware speech is that it is more responsive than software. Although Microsoft David is pretty responsive. I got some of the those newer voices that were recently put in there, and I didn't find them as responsive as the Microsoft David voice, but I sure like those better than the eSpeak. I never cared for eSpeak, but I really, at least, the the OneCore voices are an improvement over eSpeak.
Yeah, I use Eloquence with NVDA. I guess what I want to call it, backyard made up ones that that work. I just I kind of can't let go of Eloquence.
Do you still have the shortcuts on there, like you forward a mail or write a mail?
Yeah, those come with whatever email program you're using, Lindley.
Okay, thank you, Mama.
The other thing I guess I kind of just wanted to say is if anyone uses NVDA on a fairly regular basis and has the ability, I would really encourage you to financially support NVDA because I think they're just a great organization. I support it. I only pay $5 a month, but at least it's something. And I really feel good about being able to do that. I actually took it and helped a sighted person with their computer one time. And it was really neat to just all of a sudden plug that thumb drive in and the thing started talking. I'm like, whoa, man, this is cool.
Thank you. Thank you. And yes, thank you. We do rely on donations. We are probably the next question for that. We aren't. So we are a registered charity in Australia, which is the equivalent of a 501c, but we're not a US registered 501c to get that nice tax deduction. It is something we're looking at though. Since we are just a small organization and we don't have, you know, offices in multiple countries, it's complex.
I'm curious, what did the sighted person think about having their computer talk?
Oh, she thought it was cool. She's like, wow, now you can run my computer. And I'm like, yes.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes people are put off by it. I have a cousin who's heard my speech. And she's like, I don't know how you can listen to that. I said, well, it's the only way I can use a computer. She doesn't come around that much. But when she's heard my computer, of course, my TV remote's worse. I have a Roku TV. And boy, that screen reader speech is not that great. Yeah, I mean, it works. And I can understand it. But it's like she has a Russian accent or something. And it's kind of weird. But, hell, it's legal because they, you know, by law they have to make the TVs accessible. It doesn't mean the speech has to be great.
Well, my wife is fully sighted. I have NVDA on her computer, and if she needs tech support, I remote into her computer. Works great.
Yep, that's fantastic. We were on a program in Australia a couple of years ago called Australian Story. And as well as the main program, one little tidbit they did a short video on was Jamie, one of our founders, who can read speech at like 900 words a minute. I must admit, I cannot understand it that fast myself. So yeah, it's something that, whether it's the speech rate or just the synthesizer, it's something, yeah, different people prefer one way or the other. For JAWS users, because we've got quite a few, yeah, we do have, and it's linked to on our Get Help page, we do have a guide to switching from JAWS to NVDA. So that doesn't have to be ditching JAWS entirely and coming to NVDA. The information is just as useful if you are primarily a JAWS user and want to try out a few things with NVDA. And in our user guide, we have one of the first sections is the quick start guide that gives you a lot of the sort of things that you want to know on, you know, day one, some of the common keystrokes and things.
Now, that material is free, right?
That's right. That material is all free. And perhaps also for those who would like to donate but might also want to improve their skills, do look at the training material. Obviously, sales of the training material, the money comes to us as well, and you get something for it. So that's always worthwhile too. But yeah, the user guide, the quick start guide, the switching from JAWS to NVDA, that's all free. One of the main differences, perhaps just to quickly mention the main differences between, say, the user guide, which does contain all of NVDA's functions, and the training material, is that the user guide will just tell you this is the add-on store and these are the keystrokes to do this, that, and the other, whereas the training material, basic training for NVDA, will go through, explain what the functions are, and then give you a step-by-step activity. Press this, you know, press NVDA N to open the menu, T for tools, A for add-on store, and then press such and such to go into the different sections of it and walk you through that in a lot more detail.
Is that training material specifically in text format, or is there an audio version of it as well?
Yep, good question. So basic training for NVDA, the main one, comes, you can either get it in text, human read MP3 DAISY audio, or UEB hard copy braille. With the text version, it comes in a zip, you download the zip file, which has it in Microsoft Word document, a web page, you know, HTML file, plain text, and EPUB, ebook format. So you've got the options there. And it comes as a zip file with all four of those formats, but the audio and braille are separate.
Oh, I have to go, but thanks again. Great presentation. Take care.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks to everybody for coming, and especially to you, Quentin. And I think we'll wrap up, unless anyone has something that they just can't get along without saying.
Well, I'd like to thank Quentin for being here. That was great. This is Harith from Iraq, originally, currently in Algeria. And on behalf of of everyone I've helped with NVDA, I thank you, and all the NVDA team as well. Greatly appreciate your time and effort, and great job. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Harith.
Harith, great to see you. It's been a long time.
Well, I guess so. I wasn't sure if you're still amongst the living.
Yeah, my apologies. And I just remembered our NVDA training thing was way behind. It's even before they brought the new setting interface to NVDA. So I'm guilty as charged. My apologies. A lot of working and family issues. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be catching up real quick.
Quentin Harris was actually taught an NVDA class here on VIP Conduit. And I might mention our site here also donates once in a while to NVDA. I think it's a yearly donation we do. I think we're about ready to do it again here pretty soon.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. And actually, just one thing that Harith mentioned reminded me. If anyone has purchased our training material, we do try and update it from time to time, particularly the basic training. And that is generally a free update for, you know, if you've purchased it previously. Most people buy it, work through it, and then they're happy, but if you want to then go back and go through it again, you can go to your NV Access account and the downloads there, and it will give you the newest version of whatever module you've purchased. But I'm currently working on Excel, which I appreciate is quite old and desperately needed an update.
Yeah, that's mainly because most of the users, they don't use what's new with the new releases, so I'd really suggest for the NVDA team to bring up like a prompt message for either optionally or just prompt up with every major update of what's new with this version. That would be great.
Quentin, I just want to introduce myself before I take off on the run, but my name is Terry, and I'm in upstate New York State, and it's been really great. So everybody take care. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks for coming.
Well, now that you're here, stop by and visit us sometime. Good luck going forward on the development, and I know it'll just keep getting better, better, and more better, as my dad used to say.
So much. And yeah, I'll be happy to come back again.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.